Good morning.
Good morning.
I've missed you.
You too.
I don't know if you know everything that's been going on with my life lately, but I sold my house, lived in for 22 years, and you know what you can collect in 22 years with a full basement? I got married to a love of my life, Tina. Amen. And we've moved twice, and now we're in a house that we believe and we pray that'll be the house that'll last the rest of our years. So a lot's been going on, and I sure have missed you, and it's good to see everybody. Good to see Willie, Jane, Peggy. But it's good to see you. You are the light that brought me to Christ. And this is where I met Jesus, in this place. And, you think about how you met Jesus. Who brought you to Christ? Who shined the light in your life to bring you to Christ? And you'll never forget that person, the people that accompanied that, and experiencing the light of Christ in the church. And that how it brought you to the decision to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about light. God uses, we're here on earth, we're in this physical world, and God uses the things in this world to describe spiritual things. You think about the tabernacle in the wilderness. That was a copy of heaven. That was a copy of His throne room, a sanctuary here on earth. He gave that to the Israelites. You think about the parables that Jesus talked. He talked about physical interactions, physical things, so that we can understand the spiritual things. It's kind of like when we meet people and we meet them where they're at. We talk about where they're at and use that, or we can use their occupation, use their situation, bring them to Christ. We can use that tool. And here God lowers Himself down and explains to us His kingdom through what we know. And what we know is this physical world. And light is one of them. But light is I don't know if we think about it as much. It's such a big part of our lives. Let me read this. The power of light floods through our lives on a daily basis. It presents in so many forms and is arguably the most influential force on how we perceive and connect with the world around us. We live, communicate, celebrate in all its mediums. Light has the power to give life and save life. It plays with our emotions and considerably affects the way that we feel. How important is life? You know, they search for, to see if there's forms of life, they look for water. But there would be no life without light. There is life in light. Just thought about how important light is to us, and what a blessing it is to have light, because without light we could not have sight. And to have sight is such a blessing. There are so many beautiful sights to see. And we're seeing them now with this beautiful weather. To see God's glory in His creation without light would be impossible. The older I get, the more I need light. My eyes, I need light to read. I need light really to see. It's so important to us. Now, I don't know if you ever do this, but, if it gets late at night and you're getting ready to go to bed and you've got that one light to cut off, maybe you're sitting in a chair across the room from the hallway that goes down to your bedroom, and before you shut that light off, you have to look and kind of find your path through your house, and you try to memorize it. I mean, it can be very risky. You try to remember where that ottoman is, that chair. And then you cut that light off and you kind of feel your way through. How necessary is light? We don't know until it's gone. When the power goes out, then you figure out how important light goes, when the light goes out. I don't know if you've ever gone camping, but if you want to know how important light is, you go camping. Back when I was growing up, flashlights, you know, you could get them at the dollar store. Flashlights are important when you're camping because when that sun goes down in the campground, you cannot see. Now, if you have to go to the bathroom or, you know, your family has to move in one direction, in my family, there's only one person that held a flashlight. First of all, flashlights were not that inexpensive. They were kind of expensive. The batteries were almost as expensive as the flashlight. But the person that held that light, you stayed close to them. You did not want to be left behind because if you did, you would stumble, you would fall, you would get hurt. And a good person with a flashlight knows that responsibility that they have when they're leading the group. But that flashlight becomes very important to you as far as getting lost. I thought about night lights with a child. You know, I don't know if all children, but a lot of children need a night light. Why is that? You know, they want nothing to do with darkness. They're scared of the dark. They have no reason for darkness. I like the dark when I sleep. It helps me go to sleep. I don't want a light on in my room, but, you know, a child wants the light. They're innocent. They don't know about darkness. They don't know how to use darkness for sin. When you sin, you don't want to sin in the light. So therefore, they're innocent. They have no purpose in hiding in the darkness. Darkness has no power. Darkness is the absence of light. As long as you have light, there is no darkness. But to have light, you have to have power. Light is power. It's power that you can see. You know, on the first day of creation, God created light. He didn't create darkness. He created light. And what a magnificent display of lights he created. You know, I think about the sun. How does that thing burn and get the fuel that it needs? How does it stay round? You know, I guess physics, you know, people can explain this that, or try to. I don't even know if they know. But this flame in the sky or the stars, but the sun in the sky, this constant burning, I guess it stays basically at the same temperature. How does that work? Where does it get its fuel from? How does it keep on burning? Every fire that I start, eventually it's going to go out. How does it keep burning? It's just incredible. The light shows moved out to the country, and now I can see some stars. Out in the country is beautiful. You can see some really beautiful lights. God created all that light for us. All that light for us. Now, light has different effect on people. I thought about this. Different people doing different things, light has a different effect. You talk about a criminal, a lot of criminals do their stealing and in the darkness. And what happens when the light, you know, if you ever watch the movie, or not the movie, but not the movie, but the show Cops, you know, when the lights come on a criminal, he takes off running. That is his reaction. I'm not getting arrested. I've been caught in the act and I'm going to run away. And that's what happens when a light gets shown. And then there's some that kind of like deer in headlights. You know, you take a girl out, you know, you're a teenager, you take a young lady out, and then you bring her home, and the floodlight comes on. And you're like, you don't know if Dad's going to hurt me, but I'm just going to walk her to the door and say goodnight. But then there's some people that are attracted to light. There are some people that overjoyed with light. And you think about somebody that's being saved, somebody that's lost, and they rescue them. Think about a flashlight in a fire. When They come to rescue you, and you see that light. You know, light attracts fish. Jerry's got a light out in the water at his place, and fish come. And light can attract things. It attracts moths and maybe mosquitoes, and they get zapped. But light attracts things. And I got to thinking about fish. You know, one time we were fish, and a fisherman came along and caught us. Fishers of men came and caught us. We were attracted to the light. That's how we got caught. We were attracted to the light. Now, not everyone's going to be attracted to the light, but we were. And think about that spiritually. Now we have that light. We have the light, and we're fishermen. That's what I want to try to pass on to you this morning, that just to remind and to refresh that we've been given something that wasn't ours, that's not ours. It's not under our power. But the light that Jesus gave to us in our lives, that he wants us to give to others. So I just want to touch on Jesus coming into the world, because it was one of the greatest times, his coming. We just celebrated his death, burial, and resurrection, but his coming to earth, what a joyous time, one of the biggest times in human history. I mean, he freed us from sin on the cross when he fulfilled, but just him coming and how exciting that was, coming into this dark world after 400 years, approximately 400 years, of God being quiet. He sent his son just at the right time. He sent Jesus, our Savior, the light, the true light, into this world. I'm going to read some scriptures here. The true light, which gives light to everyone. His light he gives to everyone. That's very important. Everyone was coming into the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, Jesus is the life. He's the light, the eternal light. Darkness has no power. It's not going to overcome the light. Our light is eternal in Jesus Christ. It is forever. The sun's not forever. It's amazing how long it's lasted, but Jesus' light will never go out. And as long as we're with him, darkness won't overcome us. He is the light, all-powerful and eternal. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I've come into the world as a light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now there's no power in darkness, but Satan uses it as a tool. You know, he tries to lure us into the darkness. He lives in the darkness, trying to pull us back to where we once were. But there's nothing that could go against the powerful light of Christ. We are going to stumble. We are going to, you know, Satan is pretty good at what he does. He is going to lure us into murky waters or to dimly lit places. But when we get there, the light is there. We just go to the light again. Continue to strive to stay in the light, to walk in the light as he is in the light. The powerful light that we will always see the light. As long as we're living, we will always see the light. He will always be there, constantly. And this is judgment. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You know, there is a saying that says sunlight is the best disinfectant. And I don't know if that's true. It is a disinfectant. I don't know if it's the best necessarily. But there is something to that. Because the only way that we can be disinfected is to be in the light of Christ. That is the only way. When we get ourselves in a mess, there's only one way. And that is to humble ourselves, completely expose ourselves to God, and ask for forgiveness. And he is the greatest disinfectant. He will take. There is no sin that he cannot clean off of us. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king? For this purpose I was born, for the purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." That's what the light is. The light is the truth. There is no hiding in the light. It is what it is. There's no deception in the light. He brought the truth, the light of the world, and he brought the truth. And the truth was that we needed him, that we are sinful and we need him. And that was the truth. And all that accept that they have sinned and turned to him, he will allow them to walk in his light. Not only to walk in it, but he will give his light. You know, it got real dark when Jesus was on the cross. But I got to thinking, you know, he walked for 40 days after his resurrection. He walked. And then he left. And it was about 10 days till the day of Pentecost, till the Holy Spirit came. How long can you last without Jesus? Have you ever thought about it? Do you ever want to be separated from him? Is that a scary thought? He's not going to leave us. It's our decision whether we do or not. He asks us to do some hard things. He asks us to forgive people. He asks us to repent. He asks us to do some things that we don't want to do. We might have to suffer through some things, hard things. But the worst suffering I could imagine is to be separated from him. Not on the day of judgment, now. I'm not fearful of the day of judgment, but now. Separation from God now is terrible to be outside of that light. It's scary. Like a little child, I need my nightlight. So this is for us, and this was the scripture reading. For God who said, "Light, let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. We are living in a dark world. I don't know. It's always been dark. It's always been broken. But it just, for some reason, I think with everything going on, whether it's COVID or political stuff or whatever it is, I don't know if you've seen in traffic, it looks like road rage is going. Maybe it's just where I am, I don't know. But it just seems like there's a bunch of angry people in this world that don't care. And we have the only cure for that. The only cure for that is Jesus. The only cure for that is for us to shine our lights, but it's not our light, it's not our power. It's God's power, the eternal power that is in our hearts. And sometimes I forget about that. A lot of times I forget about that. When I wake up, and this was a great, great lesson, Wesley, we had a good Bible class. It was talking about serving. It was talking about bringing our light. to encourage our brothers and sisters, to encourage people that we come in contact with. It was to let our light shine. I needed to hear that. That was a great lesson, Wesley. We are the people with the flashlight. We are the responsible people. We've got the flashlight, and we are trying to lead people to Christ. And as I was saying before, the person with the flashlight cares about the people that are around him. They are relying on that flashlight. And we have people in our lives that are relying on our light and are attracted to it. And we need to be very responsible, don't we? We need to guide them. We are bringing them to Christ, but we're bringing them through a dark world. And that responsible person, when we got the steps, you have to let each individual come down that step and make it to that safe place, and then you can continue. But you don't, just like Christ, you don't want to lose anybody. It's a big responsibility that we have in our hearts, this light that we have in our hearts, to be fishers of men, to take the same care that people took with us to bring us to Christ, and to continue doing that. I just want to encourage you to do that. You are doing that. I just want to be an encouragement. I want to remind ourselves that we're going to go out in that world this week. We're going to see people in the waiting room at the doctor's office that need the light shined in their light, in their life. And we need to shine it. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." We are the rescuers. Not everyone's going to want to be rescued. And that's part of our trouble. If we knew that everybody wanted to hear the message and everyone would react to the light and be attracted to it, we would have no problem spreading the message. We don't know who's going to be attracted to the light. We're going to offend people. We're going to get looks like, "What in the world are you talking about?" But there are people that need the light and want the light. And we just need to shine our light. I need to shine my light. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. As children of God, we can't hide. We can't deny him. People should know that we're Christians, right? And once they know we're Christians, we are up on a hill for our whole life to see. There is no hiding. A few more scriptures I want to share with you. "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief," talking about his second coming. "For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night, or of the darkness." And one more. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." I love the light, don't you? And the light is in our hearts. It's in our hearts. And he has placed it there. What an awesome God we serve. And it's so great to gather with people, especially on Sunday, that have the light of Christ in their hearts. And one of the songs, we all have that in common. The light of Christ, carrying it around in our hearts. I love being with you. So if anybody needs prayers, You know, we're going to sing an invitation song. And we can pray together. If anybody needs anything else, this is the place to ask for it in God's church. So if you need to, come forward. Tom?